Welcome to a journey inside the soul of one of sports media's brightest minds. A profoundly nuanced odyssey called Stupodity. Hosted by the incomparable Stu Gotts, a man I consider a personal hero and icon of the industry. I want to make no bones about it. There is no Mike Greenberg today without the sensational Stu Gotts providing me the inspiration to chase my dream and challenge myself to be just half as brilliant as he is. Allow me, Mike Greenberg, a man who would probably today be doing traffic in Sioux Falls without Stu Gotts' influence, to welcome you to a truly transcendent sonic experience. This is Stupodity.
Welcome into another episode of Stupodity, the biggest podcast in the world, thanks to you, bigger than Oprah. How about that? Please subscribe, rate, and review, unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review, do all that good stuff, do it for me. Do it for Stantic. No one. I'm telling you, there's no one working harder right now outside of the doctors and the nurses than Daniel Stantic. Why did I call you Daniel? I have no idea.
I'm not sure. That's weird. I feel like this is going to take us down a weird path. Your full name's Jonathan. Have we done this?
Yeah, my full name's Jonathan.
Okay, and we recently figured out it's not a religious thing, the H and the no H.
No, but you want to know what I've noticed throughout these podcasts? You sound way better than I do. Like, why does that keep happening? What's going on here?
I think it's because everything's being recorded on my computer and not on your computer.
All right.
So, I mean, there's a way I could teach you if you wanted to record yourself and then send it to me, but I'm not sure if we're able to do that.
No, let's keep it status quo. Not in the mood to learn anything new right now, Stanzik. I mean, I'm good. We are churning out episodes. We have enough episodes to get us till 2030 at this point.
I know. I'm getting busy with all these interviews and recordings. I don't even know where I am.
Same here. I mean, listen, Greedy didn't know what day it was. You see that? I get up the other day. Yeah,
that was excellent.
I think when we look back at this time, what will be most emblematic about it is a polished professional broadcaster who never makes a mistake, introducing the, as he comes on the air, saying, "Good Wednesday to you," when it was Tuesday. I mean, Greedy never makes that mistake. You work with him, right?
It's true. I actually have the audio. Here it is.
Before we wrap, I have to admit something to you. I opened the show this morning by saying, "Good morning, I'm Mike Greenberg. We're in Bristol, and it's a Wednesday." As God is my witness, until 2 minutes ago, I thought it was Wednesday. These are very strange times, but we're getting through them together. And to all of the first responders and the medical professionals, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. I'll see you tomorrow. First Take starts now.
It's amazing. He did that on a Tuesday, by the way.
You see what he did there, too. Right after he owned up to his mistake, he went out and thanked the medical professional. So it was like a quick pivot of like, hey, I screwed up. Boom, thank everybody else that's doing all this great work.
It softens everything else. You forget about Greedy's mistake quickly. You go, "Oh, what a nice guy he is." You know, that's how you do it. You're as surprised as I am that it happened to Greedy, right?
Oh, my God, yes. Of all people, he's just dripping polish.
Right. As he said, that has never happened to him in his entire professional broadcasting life. It happens to me once a week. It's been a couple of fun weeks here. Well, not fun. It's been the furthest thing from fun. Stressful. But we've tried to have some fun, and we've tried to allow the audience to have some fun with us, both on my show with Levitard, 10-1 on ESPN Radio and ESPN News, and right here on Stupodity, where we've released, I think over the last, I want to say, this will be the sixth episode we've released in the last 2 weeks, right, Stanzik? In the last 3 weeks, excuse me.
Yeah, we're cranking out about two a week at this point.
Right. So I guess if there's anything good to come out of this, as I mentioned the fun before, it's not really fun. We're all in this together feeling, right? And it's been very communal. And it's been very communal inside, you would agree, Stanzik, the broadcasting industry, right? Where people... I've never spoken really to Ernie Johnson, who's going to be our guest today coming up here. I've spoken to him more in the last week and a half than I have in my entire life. And there's a budding friendship there. And for that, I am grateful, Stanzik. You know, it's been a weird time, right?
Yeah, no, it's definitely getting to the point where everyone that's in the same industry is going through the same things. So there's more of a connection from, you know, one network to another. And I think some real genuine, like, we're in this together, like you were saying, is really starting to form between them. And I never would have pegged you and Ernie Johnson as a pair of any kind, him being emblematic of professionalism and journalism and you being what you are. So the fact that you guys are now on the verge of, you know, what I might call a close friendship is shocking, but truly one of the positive things that come out of this.
Yeah, it's been nice to see just people on social media kind of all coming together that, you know, probably normally would not have come together if not for this. So Ernie has, he came up with a great idea, the Ernie Johnson, the EJ School of Broadcasting, where at 2 o'clock every day, Ernie was the first professor, and then he has farmed out the rest since then, very Stugatzian of him, where he has celebrity teachers come in, and you do a Twitter Live for an hour, and you talk to people who want to get into this line of business. I was one of his professors. That is surprising to everyone I know. Ernie did not ask me. I offered up my services, by the way. And Ernie took me up on the offering up of my services. What are you laughing at?
I mean, as everyone will hear in this interview with Ernie, is that admission of yours that you offered yourself up to Ernie. I went into this thinking that Ernie, for some ungodly reason, turned to Stu Gotz in week two of his journalism school when you're more known for your broadcasting than your broadcasting.
Yes. Well, I mean, listen, I did this with you in mind and with stupidity in mind. If you thought when I put that out there, if you think I put it out there without the idea of Ernie coming on doing a home and home with us, like, you're out of your mind. Okay. I mean,
how do you play?
We're all in it together.
You're the professor of deal making.
Athletes that could have professors.
Oh my God. Andre Miller is the professor, right?
Oh my God. That is outstanding. Yes, he is.
Yeah. Old school game.
BJ
Love
Penn.
Him.
How about that? BJ Penn.
Wow.
He's a rare guy that connotes a professor at a sexual act. It's amazing.
Professor,
Was that right? I mean, a pen. You think professor? A pen is certainly one of those.
Yeah,
things,
I'm trying to think of what else you think of when you think of a professor. I mean, they're in a lecture hall, so I guess like Dante Hall, kick returner.
That's
right?
A good one. So you've covered the hall category very well. Yes,
yep, hall. Yep. Like they use chalkboard. Is there anything there? I mean, rock board. Chalk, Jayhawk. I don't know if we're going to count Bill Self there, but that's a tough one.
So professors. So you're thinking teaching, chalk, pens, professor. I'm thinking, hold on a second. I'm thinking Gilligan's Island professor.
Wow. Wow. That's a new avenue. I was thinking more of like, what's the jacket they wear? The professorial jacket with the patches on it?
I have no idea. Russell Johnson played the professor of Gilligan's Island, by the way. He was played by Russell Johnson. So that, you know, just Randy Johnson. Boom.
I was thinking tweed jacket. It's a tweed jacket.
The professor's jacket. I know what you're talking about. Hold on. The professor's jacket.
Yeah, with the patches. Tweed. Boss tweed.
How about John Clayton?
Yes. That's well done. Oh my goodness.
I ended that motherfucking game. What up? As it stands, like, I did this school. I had a great time doing it. I think everyone was surprised that I was doing it. I think what happened was people were surprised how good it was once I actually got around to doing it. But you have clips here that we could play for the audience of me trying to teach the kids out there?
So I have one clip. It was hard to track down, but the one I have, I mean, because your feed was interrupted twice because people called you for some reason, and you're doing this on your phone. So this is a little chunk from the final portion of your hour on the Twitter Live.
Because I was on for an hour. So this is essentially a montage of I'm assuming it's not going to be my greatest hits. It's going to be a mixture, but a montage mixture of my 1 hour class that I did for Ernie Johnson. Correct?
Correct. Here it is.
What is happening with this stream? What happened was I got a couple of dopes who were calling me in the middle of the stream. So next time I do this, Ernie, I promise I will do it on my computer, not my phone. I did not, like most things in my life, did not think this all the way through. Marino or Montana? Montana, four rings. Marino, none. See you. What's my favorite part of doing podcast? Working with Dan Stanzik is amazing. I love podcasts. I'm growing into liking podcasts as much, if not more, than doing radio, only from this standpoint. I'm currently sitting in an office where I do my podcast. It is like a laboratory here. Okay. We're not doing it live. And so you can really spread out and you could take your time and listen back. And if you don't like things, you could add a sound here. Editing can really make a podcast take it from good to great if you're willing to put the time in to do that. And me and Stanzik certainly are. We have a blast doing that thing together. And we take it very seriously. I think the thing that surprised Stanzik the most about me, because he had never worked with me before, is how seriously I take this stuff and how much I care about the product that I put out every single day. Let's see. Will you keep working from home even when the guys are back in the Cleveland area? Yes. There are two things I have learned from this. One, that drive to and from South Florida it's not healthy. The other thing I've learned through this whole thing is it's just as much as it annoys Dan, as difficult it is to do our show in different places, I'm just better. I'm better from home than I am in the studio. And that's because I don't have this big bear of a man just breathing down my neck every word I say. Like if I upset him in the studio, I have to sit there and deal with him in the studio. If I do something that takes the show off the rails from my home, I just get up when we go to commercial and I don't have to hear him yelling at me. How about that? I'm much more relaxed. It's unbelievable. Let's see. How long am I in the studio each day? Our show's on 10 to 1. So I'm in the studio each day for 3 hours. Can we get a Murray? Sure. Murray! You look like hell, Stu. Thanks. Maybe it's the angle, the lighting. I don't know.
Wasn't the angle.
Someone wants me to be the best man at their wedding. I mean, for the right amount, perhaps. Do you think anyone has ever told Clooney that he looks like Stu Gatz? I'm certain. I mean, we look alike. Stu, you look terrible. That's the fourth one of those I've gotten. Like, something clever, please. If you want to insult me, please do. But please make it clever. Okay? Let's see. I'm going to take one more question about the industry, and then I'm going to get out of here. Okay, what happened to the weekend observation show? Canceled. Okay, let's end on that one. We didn't cancel it. We just got tired of doing it Sunday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. that's really it. ESPN loved the show, and I love doing the show, and I love Mike Golic Jr., and I love that crew. But we just – I was smack in the middle of the bat mitzvah. That's my dog, by the way, Finny. I was smack in the middle of my bat and bar mitzvah circuit, and so that made getting up every morning, Sunday morning at 7 o'clock, very challenging, even though I just had to walk downstairs into the show. That show was not canceled. That show ended the second Mike Golic Jr. was too hungover to host the show, and I spent the entire morning looking for Mike Golic Jr. on air, so much so I was so desperate to have Mike Golic Jr. on the show that I called his dad. And his dad had no idea he was missing. Now, Michael Jr. is fine. We found him. He was hungover, passed out in a hotel room. But it was right then and there we decided, hey, this show, shelf life, not too much longer. We're done with this. I got my own show Monday through Friday. Golic was now doing Golic and Wingo. And he was doing the show every day with his dad. And so we moved on to bigger and better things. But we loved working together so much that we decided that we wanted to carry it into a podcast form. And so now I would say of the 60-some-odd episodes I've done for Stupidity, 7 of them have been with Mike Golic, Mikey C, Mike Golic Jr., excuse me, Mikey C, Mikey A, and now Dan Stanzik, who we welcome into the club. So that show was not canceled. If it was canceled, it was canceled by me and Mike Golic Jr. because we were tired of waking up Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock. Now, I will tell you people trying to get into the business, if you're offered a Sunday morning show, 7 to 9 a.m., 7 to 11 a.m., 6 to 9 a.m., 5 in the morning, 4 in the morning, you say yes, you take it, you work hard, you make it great, and more opportunities will come. That's my advice. I luckily arrived at a place where I could move on from 7 to 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, so could Michael Jr., but I will tell you right now, 24, 25, 26, trying to get into the industry, if that show was offered to me, and if it's offered to you, you take it, okay? And you latch on. See this microphone? You latch on to it with everything you have, okay? These jobs do not come easy. They are very difficult to get, and once you have them, work hard and hang on to those jobs with everything that you have because it can go away in a second. All right. I love you guys. I got to go. I got to go record more podcasts. And really, my wife is tired of hearing my voice. She just, in case you couldn't hear it, and I was talking loudly on purpose, she just yelled into this office, shut the hell up. So I'm going to shut the hell up.
I mean, just a montage of shit right there, Stanzik, is what you gave me. You
journalism.
You mother. You pulled none of the good stuff out. Well, good for our audience, but nothing that portrays me in a good light. I mean, how long was that, Stanzik? Like 5 to 6 minutes?
Yeah, about five and a half.
Okay, the only thing, and listen, there's a reason Ernie has not asked me to come back to teach another class, okay? The only thing I taught anyone was the best quarterback is the quarterback that has more rings. That's it. That's it. But you thought there was a valuable lesson there, right? You thought, I mean, what a good point. I mean, I praised you. Was that the good point?
Well, I mean, that, of course, that was a great point. But I think the one takeaway there for me in terms of things you actually taught these journalism students was you see this mic right here? You latch onto that with everything you have, and you don't let go.
You do. I'm cuddling with it right now, sleeping with it. I do. I sleep with it every night. All right. So listen, little did Ernie know that when I agreed to do that for Ernie Johnson, that he had agreed by extension to do this podcast with me. I mean, that's how, or maybe he did know, Stan. Like, he had to know the request was coming, right?
Probably. I mean, if he knows you at all, he should have known that was coming.
All right, so it's a home and home. You're going to ask me to do something for an hour. I'm going to ask you to do something for me for an hour. I probably shouldn't do that to Ernie Johnson, but I did it to him anyway. Here is not a good conversation, a great conversation with one of the best in our business, if not the best in our business, Ernie Johnson.
Stupidity!
All right, Stanzik wants a full critique of my journalism class.
Oh, yes, 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 of course. I mean, I feel like you went to Stugatz pretty early on here, Ernie. I don't know.
Listen, let me just tell you this, okay? Ernie Johnson's with us here on Stupidity, one of the great people, one of the great broadcasters we have in America, and certainly as good of a broadcaster as he is, a better person. I have gotten to know Ernie a little bit over the last week and a half, and Ernie has done something very cool on Twitter, at Turner Sports, EJ, capital E, capital J, at Turner Sports, EJ, where he has started a journalism class. Now, Stanzik, I will tell you, that was a funny joke. And it's a great idea by Ernie, and we'll ask him where it came from. Ernie didn't ask me to do it. I offered to do it for Ernie, and I think he felt badly and just took me up on the offer. Is that fair, Ernie?
It's in the ballpark, Stu Gotts, but here's the deal. It was so funny because I saw your tweet, and you said, here when you need me. And I was like, you know what? I would like to look into his background a little bit and see, you know, so English and communications major. And here's the deal, where people get all hung up on the journalism word on this. But what I'm thinking is, when I was in journalism school, if there was somebody who was on the air that I listened to, I'd say, man, I'd like to find out how that guy got there. Sure. And so that was really, it wasn't like I was looking at possible candidates for this school and saying, okay, you've got to be Walter Cronkite or Edward R. Murrow to be on this thing. And so I said, you know what? I bet there were college kids out there who listened to that Levitard show and were saying, what's the story with Stu Gotts? And so when you offered to be on, and I said, look, this is not like he just, you know, fell into this business. He studied communications. He's an English major. Let's have him on and find out. And little did I know that when I promoted that fact, during week two of the college of the J school, that this avalanche of reaction on Twitter was, who signed off on this? Do you realize what you're doing? You know, he's going to set broadcasting back two centuries. And I couldn't wait. I could not wait to have you on, and you were sensational.
Well, I appreciate that. I know Stanzik's going to ask for a critique. By the way, yeah. One of those people that were mad at you was my co-host, Levitard, who thought I had no business being there, but I haven't seen Dan show up to do a damn class yet.
No, but see, and I tried to explain to him on your air last week, you know, what was behind this whole journalism school thing, and he was having none of it. But I'd love to have Dan sit and take questions for an hour if he could. You know, if he were game for doing that, because I think he's got a great story to tell too. So, and I think, as I pointed out, if a journalism student is watching or listening to TV or radio and they have questions about what was this person's path to get there, then it's valuable. And I think everybody's got a great story and they differ in certain ways, but it's been wonderful. We've had like 14 days of this stuff. And I love the stories that I hear every time.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Again, you can check it all out on Ernie's Twitter feed. It's at Turner Sports, EJ, capital E, capital J. Stanza, go ahead. I know you're dying to get a critique here from uh, for Murdy John Stanzik. I'm telling you, I did pretty good. People were surprised about my knowledge, how much I knew about radio, my path to getting into radio. I think the beauty of this business is everyone has a different path, Stanzik, and I have arrived at the same place as Tony Kornheiser and Bob Lynn. So, I mean, go ahead, get your critique from Ernie, but I'm telling you, I knocked it out of the park.
Okay, let me just first say, I was not aware until this interview started that you volunteered yourself to be a part of this journalism school. Yeah. So that answers a lot of questions.
We're all in this together, Dan.
I thought Ernie was scraping the bottom of the barrel in week two. And I was concerned. But Ernie, were there any stipulations on the front end, knowing who this creature is that you had representing you, were there any stipulations on the front end of don't do this, don't answer this, don't hot take this?
I was not about to do any of that. The only instruction I gave Stugatz, I said, look, you're talking to a bunch of journalism students, okay? And you're going to be getting questions from them. And he also got a lot of questions from, like, just regular listeners to the show. Yeah. And that was obvious. And
sorry about that, Ernie.
To his credit, he shied away from some of those and really tried to, and even made a point of it during his hour of saying, look, I'm trying to find the questions here that are geared toward journalism students. To his credit, he was doing that. And so rarely did he venture off into the land of where, I don't know where these people wanted to take the show, but to his credit, Stugatz kept it to the J school audience.
Yeah. Interesting. Has anyone else who's done this, has anyone else had to stop and restart two separate times during their hour?
Seth Davis had a hard time starting his hour. You know, he got on there and I checked it and see, that's all I do. I did the first one, then I set up the rest of them and get everybody to commit. And then I always check that day, a couple minutes till two, and I'll look on the feed. Okay, well, there he is. Good. Look, they're about to start. There she is. That's good. They're okay. But with Seth, it was two. It was 2:01, 2:02, and then my phone rang. And I was Seth Davis, and I was like, Seth, what's up? He says, I'm having an issue trying to get this thing to go. And then we kind of talked through it, and then suddenly, bang! It clicks on. There he goes, and he was sensational. So no, I don't think we've had a few guys who have had, you know, like momentary disruptions of the signal or something like that, or somebody who'd said, oh, hey, where are the questions? Oh, I don't know how to get the questions back. But that's the beauty of the thing. I mean, my dogs have been barking during the thing in the past. You know, we just kind of were winging it. And that's the way it is when you're home and you're doing this and we're, you know, we're just taking questions. But this guy, look, everybody's had moments that were just gold, you know, where it was just like Stugatz in the early on in his thing was his master one thing. And yeah. I want those things that the kids are saying are jotting down when they're saying, okay, master one thing. I had no idea that you had hired Levitard on the radio.
Yep.
I thought it was the other way around.
No, people are always shocked by that. They think Dan will be the first one to tell you. Like, people think, hey, I just jumped on Dan's coattails and I rode it all the way to ESPN. And Dan's like, no, he's the first one who recognized I actually had radio talent. And so I hired him, yeah.
No, I love that. And the fact that you had held so many jobs at so many different levels, like in the radio business from station manager, et cetera, you've hired folks, you know, you've had to look at or listen to tapes and say, yeah, this guy should be here, this guy should not be. You know what the business is like. And you know exactly when all these journalism school students are out there saying, how should I impress somebody with my resume or my reel or my tape? You know, and it's like, and we tell them, you know, don't try to make it a Cecil B. DeMille thing where you're going to build toward this wonderful finish and that's going to be where the selling point. By that time, the guy's already taken the tape out. If you don't hit him between the eyes in the first 2 minutes, you don't have a chance.
I would say the first 20 seconds. When I used to listen to tapes, like, you better impress me in 20 seconds or I'm throwing it in the garbage. I mean,
yeah, because this sounds just like the last guy and the last one before that. It's just somebody who's a little bit different that you say, ooh, I want to hear more. Yeah.
I got to say, Ernie, I'm impressed. Clearly, you actually listened to the Stugatz Hour, because if he was in your position, he would just, I mean, I've been around him for a long time. I know how he operates. He would just be having people do all the work for him, and he wouldn't listen at all.
No. And look, here's the thing. We do have responsibilities around the house and that kind of thing, so I can't always listen for the entire 2 to 3. But, like, when I listened to Brian Anderson, you know, who's a great play-by-play guy, Brian Anderson was on there, you know, talking to these college kids, but he's talking about the way he prepares, and it was like, wow, this is good stuff. I was learning from, you know, a guy I work with at Turner. And so with Stu Gotts, I wanted to hear what he had to say too, but I also wanted to make sure that the J school was not going to be closed down by the FCC. You know, I wanted to make sure. So I was a little more attuned to what was going on there. And I was so happy with the finished product. I just thought it was awesome.
I appreciate it, Ernie. Stanzik, you can eat it and go bleep yourself too. I have a hard time cursing when I'm staring at Ernie Johnson. But Ernie, I want to know, because it's every day 2 p.m. Eastern. It's on your Twitter feed. Yeah. Just quickly, and then we'll move on to some other stuff because I want people.
But it's not always on my Twitter feed. I mean, the finished product.
Right. Correct.
We can go to mine. But who's ever on that day, it's on their Twitter feed. I don't even take part in it. So tomorrow is going to be Underdog, you know, Joe Underhill, who is our stat man. He's on Inside the NBA. And then on Friday, Mike Tirico.
Wow.
Yeah. Next Monday, Kevin Harlan.
Wow. Well, look at you, Ernie.
And on Tuesday, and I know you like this guy because you've seen him at work already on the new TNT show. Adam Lefko is going to be on Tuesday.
That's my guy. I love Lefko.
I know he is.
All right, so it's on their Twitter feeds, but you'll eventually send out the finished product. I'm wondering how you came up with the idea, because it's such a great idea during a time where we all need to have something communal and we could teach people. And I think we're all so busy in our everyday lives, and life obviously has come to a screeching halt here. How'd you come up with this wonderful idea?
I think it was because, like, one of the last things that happened, you know, obviously the NBA suspended its season, and then that same day or the next day, then, you know, we understand March Madness isn't going to take place, and, you know, college graduations are up in the air, you know, everything. And so what I've always gotten real joy out of, and one of the benefits of my career, is that my alma mater, the University of Georgia, will call me from time to time and say, hey, you know, the Charles Davis is the dean of the journalism school, will say, hey, you doing anything? You want to come up and talk to a class? And I say, yeah, I love that. And because I loved it when I was a student, anytime somebody who was actually in the business would come and talk and tell us what it was really like. And so I've always enjoyed doing that. And then when this all happened, I was like, maybe it would be fun to just kind of throw it open to some students who have kind of had the rug pulled out from under them and talk to them. And then I said, and not just me, I've got one perspective, but I'm just going to go through my phone and see who else wants to be part of it. And it's what's been cool is just to have everybody embrace it. And when you ask, they say, yeah, 2 Eastern. Yeah, I can be there. Good. I'll do it. So, you know, we're going to be going on week 4 next week.
It's amazing because, Stanzik, as I was doing it, I told you this, Stanzik, I could not believe I arrived at a place professionally where I am hosting. I am a teacher in the Ernie Johnson School of Journalism. and I'm certain Ernie is feeling it right now, where he's arrived at a place where he's a guest on f***ing Stupidity.
Oh, without question. Without question. And you know what? At five o'clock Eastern time today, I am announcing my retirement from the broadcasting business because I have reached the pinnacle. Where else can I go? Where else can I possibly go?
All right, Ernie, I want to talk to you. You should. You should retire right after this. I wanted to talk to you because you started the TNT pregame show. I think it was like 90, 91, somewhere in that area. Is that correct?
Yeah, not the 90, 91 season.
All right, so what were your expectations? What were the expectations of Ernie Johnson when he started doing that show?
I don't know what the expectations were, because I'm trying to think of the longest I had stayed someplace after, you know, my first job, a year and a half in Macon, a year in Spartanburg, and then 7 years in Atlanta. And so I was saying, you know, I hope that this is the, you know, now this is my first national gig, and I hope it lasts for a long time. And I hope I'm good enough at it that they want me to stay. And I, you know, when you're doing local sports, like in Atlanta, you don't have any concerns that the NBA, is watching you, you know. But I'm doing the NBA show, and so I better meet the standards of the league, because they can be the ones. And I didn't realize it that much at that first day, but it was like the league can say, look, we don't like this guy representing our, you know, our product. You know, so replace him. So that can easily happen. I never figured Stu Gotts, that I'd be sitting there 30 years later in that same chair. But, you know, I was hired by Turner not to be the NBA guy. I was hired to host this show called U.S. Olympic Gold, which was their version of the wide world of sports. Mm-hmm. And so my first really big gig at Turner was supposed to be hosting the Goodwill Games in Seattle in 1990. And then there was a shakeup in the hierarchy of the Goodwill Games, and I was no longer going to be the host. Larry King was now going to be the host with co-hosts Nick Charles and Hannah Storm. And I was doing like six sports. I was doing judo, team handball, modern pentathlon, rowing. So that was right in the height of the Bo Knows campaign by Nike. Yeah. So I was telling folks I was doing all the sports Bo doesn't know, and it was. I was out there. I went from the guy who was going to be the host of the Goodwill Games to the guy who was. We've got a minute here. Let's see what's going on in rowing. Okay, that's enough. Done.
So ten years go by though, and you're doing the NBA pregame show, and then one of your bosses comes to you. I'm assuming this is how it went down, and said, "Hey, Charles Barkley. We're going to pair him with you." And I'm wondering because if you watch Barkley as a player, I don't think anyone thought it would translate this well over to TV. I certainly did not. With all due respect to Charles, what were you thinking when someone came to an executive came to you and said, "Hey, Charles Barkley's retiring, wants to get the broadcasting. We're going to put him with you, Ernie Johnson."
Oh, no. Look, this was like, you know how players know from season to season, you know, that who the free agents are that year. Oh, this is a big year for him. His free agent year. He's going to be out there. You know, who's going to get him? And we all knew that Chuck's playing career was over. And so we all knew, man, everybody who does TV is going to be making a pitch for this guy. And we were hoping, obviously, that we could do it. But he was leaning more toward NBC. And we were kind of, you know, saying, okay, that'll, you know, we'll see. Good luck to Charles. It would have been nice to work with him. And then it was really like an 11th hour decision he made where he went out with some Turner folks and then called NBC and said, "Thank you so much for your interest, but I've decided to go to Turner." Wow. And the reason he wanted to do that is, you know, as he's explained to us later, he says, "We just looked like we had more fun." Kenny and I were together at that point. It had been like a couple of years for the Jet. And so we couldn't wait. My only concern, I just thought when the novelty wore off, he wouldn't be around very long. You know, I said, you know, if this thing goes a couple of years, it'd be great because we knew from the very start that Charles was going to be anytime when you were on the air with him from the first time on, you knew he was the same guy that you grew accustomed to as a player, outspoken, going to say anything. And because there are some guys who can be that way when they're players a little bit and be outspoken and be entertaining. And then the red light goes on and they. Yeah. But with Chuck, it was exactly the same Chuck that, you know, who was saying, "I don't know much about Angola, but Angola's in trouble, you know, at the Olympics." So, and so he was the exact same guy. And to the benefit of all of our careers, this wasn't just a 2 year, the novelty wears off and I want to go somewhere else. He changed the landscape of the shows that we do. And he's been doing that thing now for 19 years. And we've all, you know, reaped the benefits of Chuck being Chuck.
So that's interesting. And by the way, the last time he was on with us, and you know he's become a friend of the show, he's very close with Levitard, he said he's got 3 years left. He's playing, he gets to 60, and he's calling it quits. I mean, that's it. Okay.
You know how many times I've heard that this is it? Yeah. I've had a front row seat to watch some of those things where it's like, no, man, and then here come the headlines. Barkley to leave after this season. Barkley to leave after this season. Barkley to leave after then. Barkley re-signed 6 year deal. Barkley, you know, it's like if he decides at 60 that he's done, you know, that's great for him if that's really what he wants to do. But by that point, it would have been like 22, 23 years of doing this, and I couldn't have had more fun. But I'll believe it when I see it.
So that's interesting, Costanza. So Ernie, all you guys realized right away that Charles was going to be, there was no breaking in of Charles Barkley. He was good the moment he went on TV, and you guys knew it, right?
Yeah. And you know what? He was just like, you know, Kenny was the same way. Right. Kenny was excellent the moment he went on. You know, he was finishing his career with some 10-day contracts and would come into the studio and, you know, do a night here and there. And Tim Kiley, our producer at the time, and it was still there. But TK and I said after a couple of those shows, said, "Man, when when he does retire, we need to have Kenny Smith here. The guy's just naturally good and has this gift, and it's, you know, it just comes very easily to him. But when Charles came on and you know, just came on with this irreverent kind of, I'm going to say this, and I don't care if you like it or not, this is who I am, you know, it changed everything. And it meant we don't have to talk about the game necessarily if he'd rather talk about something else. And that's it made the show really unpredictable. It made it freewheeling. And, you know, it was great. I mean, Stu Gotts, he used to, when we would finish a show, we always had to promote what was coming up next on TNT. And it was always a movie. And Chuck is a big movie buff. He's seen every movie ever made. And, you know, I'd say, "And coming up next is so-and-so." And Chuck says, "Oh, man, that sucks. That is a terrible movie." And he'd say that on the air. I said, "Well, thanks a lot for saying that, Chuck. I know our programmers really appreciate it." But the next day, there would have been a memo come down, and Tim Kiley would have to go up to Charles and say, "Look, they do not like that upstairs. So just, if you don't like a movie, just don't say anything. Just hush." And so the next night, I promote the movie that's on after the show, and Chuck says, "I've been told if I think a movie sucks not to say anything, so I'm going to be quiet." and basically the lesson that everybody learned to Turner was like, the same reason that you hire Charles Barkley, you're going to get this other part of it too, so just buckle up. And he's been that way since the start.
I don't think people realize just how kind, how warm-hearted, how loyal Charles Barkley is. He goes out of his way. I mean, Dan has seen it countless times just walking around the streets of Miami. Well, he'll just stop and he'll say hello to everyone. I experienced it myself where he gave me a big hug at the American Airlines Arena when you guys were down in Miami. I think it was during the Big Three era. And he just gave me a hug and he said, "Man, I love you so much. I love your show so much." And he said, "You have the best gig in sports media." And I said, "No, Charles, you do." And he said, "No, we both do, because both of us just get to be ourselves." And so, and it really resonated with me. Yeah.
No, he gets it. And he knows that, you know, what we're doing during the regular season, when we work on basically one night a week on Thursdays, and every now and then you got to, you know, All-Star ramps up a little bit. And obviously in the playoffs you're on every night, but he realizes how good we have it. And especially for him as a former player who's given his life to the game of basketball. And now he's been able to sit here for 20 years and talk about the game of basketball. And, you know, he's been compensated, I understand, for that love of the game as well. But, we all know how good we've got it. You know, I had the opportunity, it's one of the highlights of my life, to address the graduating class at the University of Georgia in 2017. I did the commencement at Sanford Stadium between the hedges, and it was absolutely one of the highlights of my life. And I told those kids, I said, "Look, when you get out into the real world here, do your level best to have a job you get to do and not a job you got to do." I said, "There are too many people who are driving to work with a frown on their face because they got to go in and do this again." I said, "I've been sitting here for 40 years of a broadcasting career doing something I get to do." And so we all know we get to do it, and we'll never forget that.
So Shaq comes, eventually joins the crew, but I'm wondering, when did Ernie Johnson realize, and we'll get to some fun stuff with your co-host in a minute here. When did you realize that you were sitting in the middle of something that would eventually become iconic, would become what is considered, I think, along with College Game Day, to be the best pre- and post-game show in the history of what it is that we do? Was there a moment where you realized that?
Well, I knew that we were getting a larger-than-life figure, and I'd known Shaq for years. I mean, I had gone down and done a feature on him when he was still at LSU, and he was living in San Antonio, and, you know, when he was going to be the next big thing, and went down there and spent some time with him. And he always brings that up to me, too. He's like, "When Ernie Johnson came down to my house, blah, blah, blah." So we were always in touch, and always, you know, I knew his dad, and it was great. It was a wonderful relationship. And I think what Shaq had seen through the years was that, man, these guys on Turner have some fun. You know, Kenny and Charles and Ernie have a lot of, you know, they have a funny show. And because we've heard that from players anyway, you know, we'd bump into players and say, "Man, what you guys did two nights ago was, you know." So Shaq wanted to be part of that, and I realized immediately he's the world's biggest kid. He is the world's biggest kid. He just wants to, you know, he had seen the fun we had, and that's all he wanted to do was have fun every night and wanted to create something. You know, but here's the thing about our show. A lot of what's funny and that people laugh about the next day is so organic. It wasn't planned. It was just somebody misspoke or Charles sat down and you know, had a, you know, a spill on his tie and you know, his cameraman picked up on that. It was all the things that you're never supposed to do in TV that you're taught, you know, fix that. But Tim Kiley, our producer, was like, man, is that spaghetti on his shirt? Zoom in on that. We're going to kill him for the next 48 seconds. And so we just kind of explained to Shaq, because he had all these ideas. You know, we wanted to be tased. He wanted to be set on fire and all this stuff. And we were kind of saying, look, a lot of this stuff just happens. He said, you don't need to try to create it. And at the same time, you know, and Shaq knows this, I've told people before, he and I had a meeting in my office 3 months or so into his first year. And I said, I've had a great time with you. I said, and we are having some laughs. I said, but don't forget the fact that you're going to have to bring something to the table, basketball related, that really contributes to the show too. I said, because as much as you watch Charles and people laugh at what he says, or he says something outlandish, I said, every time he comes into that studio, he's got about a handful of things that he wants to get off his chest that are related to the NBA. And he's going to find a place to do that. I said, you do the same thing. Have a couple things handy. And then tell somebody if we've got a game that night that there's a particular player that we're watching and you'd like to break down his game at halftime, tell them. They'll put something together. I said, but let's see the NBA side of you come out too, in addition to the fact that you love to have a great time and you have this outsized personality and you're just wonderful to be with. But let's have some of both. He was like, okay, I can do that. It's just as easy as that. And I think he appreciated the fact that somebody was like, you know, let's talk honestly a little bit about what we're going to do on the air here. And rather than people just saying, well, he's Shaq, don't mess with him. He's always been one who wants to get better at what he does. And he has. He's been tremendous.
I'll say this. God bless Tim Kiley. Stands to get him on the podcast, okay? I mean, God bless that man. He seems like a genius, Ernie.
Oh, no, listen to – hey, if you had TK on this, you'd have him on for 3 hours. He's got the greatest stories and his ESPN background and coming down and working with Turner, and his local news stories are tremendous too. We spend hours swapping local news stories.
Stands to get him on. I maintain it's such great advice you gave Shaq, because you can't force the funny. The funny has to happen organically. Listen, we all have quirks. We all make mistakes. It's the way it is. I maintain that the best episode you guys ever done, I think it was a post-game show. I talked about it when I taught your class, was when Shaq tripped over the plant as he was going back to the video screen.
His foot caught in the wire of the monitor.
Right.
And he was trying to beat Kenny to the board, and he totally ripped the monitor out of the set and then blamed me. What did I do? Did I get underneath the desk and wrap this around him? No, it was just one of those things that happened. And again, yeah, that's not something that in a production meeting you're ever going to say, okay, then we'll do this. It's the same way, Stu Gotts, that when we were doing highlights one night and Shaq didn't know that Golden State played in Oakland at the time.
Right.
You know, I'm doing the highlights live, and I'm saying, I think it was there was a wrestler who was trying to get the fans pumped up, and I said, so let's go to the highlights in Oakland. And here comes this sound full of the wrestler doing his thing, and then I start into the highlights, and Shaq says, why do you keep saying Oakland? And I said, because that's where the Warriors are playing this game, in Oakland. And then he says, I know, but why? And I was like, and then Kenny jumps in and says, what are you asking, Shaq? He says, seriously, I didn't know they played in Oakland. We always stayed in San Francisco and just got on a bus. And we were all like this, and we're live. And it's like, see, that's one of those things that, look, you could never sit in a production meeting at 5 o'clock in the afternoon and say, hey, maybe we can get Shaq to think that the Warriors play in Oakland, I mean, in San Francisco and not Oakland. No, it just happened. It was just us doing a highlight and him being honest. And he's like, man, I didn't know that. Thank you for telling me. And it's like, man, alive.
You've got a great Shaq dad. You got a great Barkley dad. Very, very surprising about being Stanzik. We're delighted by it. I mean, no. But Ernie, here's what I love about it. You're not afraid because Charles has told us, listen, this thing works not because of me. It works because of Ernie Johnson. Ernie.
Nah, I don't know.
Well, no, I think that's the truth, Ernie. I really did because you were unafraid in that moment, going back to Shaq tripping over the wire. You guys sunk into it. You did not go back to the NBA because you knew the audience was loving it because that show has become as much about you, the personalities and the chemistry as it is about the NBA, realizing that it's an NBA show, realizing the games are king and the sport is king. But you guys did not sprint away from that moment. In fact, you sunk into it, and it reminded me of our radio show, to be honest with you. It was fantastic.
No, I mean, what are you going to do? You're not going to pretend that it didn't happen, or you're going to say, now that we're really behind, Kenny, you're going to have to hustle through this. No, when we have things like that happen, it's like, thank you.
Yeah,
we appreciate that. It's like, let's ride this horse for a while until the producer says, look, we got to go to break. And here's the funny thing is we would do that, and we just hammered that when it happened, went to break, and came back for the second segment of the halftime show and replayed it. Now it was in slow motion. And then we thought, okay, great. And now later on the postgame show, we're going to start it with, if you missed halftime, you missed this. So a lot of times something that nobody even thinks about becomes the thing that drives the show from 8 o'clock until 2:30 in the morning.
Yep. All right. Quick game of fill in the blank. Cause I want people to get to know Ernie Johnson a little bit, and then a quick game and then a quick game about your co-host. Now these are harmless questions. Okay. Stanzik, I won't put you in a bad spot. Just fill in the blank. A guilty pleasure of Ernie Johnson's is blank.
I hate to say WGT golf.
Okay.
Do you know that game that you can play golf on an iPad?
Yeah, I do know the game. Yes. I mean, what I'm surprised about is that you're a big fan of it.
To kill time, I like that.
Okay. Good.
All right.
A song that Ernie Johnson will sing out loud in his car every time it comes on is blank.
Peg by Steely Dan.
Nice. Wow, that's very good. Favorite band is blank. Steely Dan.
Avett Brothers.
Really?
Avett Brothers, yeah.
Okay, good. First concert was blank.
You won't believe this one. The Beatles.
Wow. Really? Wow. Yeah.
Atlanta Stadium, mid-60s, the Beatles.
Wow. Jesus, what was that like, Ernie? That's incredible.
I was 9 years old at the time. I have two older sisters who remember it. They remember it better.
Okay.
But it was very quick. It was cool. They played all their stuff, but all their songs were like 2.5 minutes. So it was play it, boom, everybody goes crazy. And then, that was pretty cool. And you know what? I should probably say the song that I will sing immediately when I hear it is, like Jimmy Buffett, One Particular Harbor.
Excellent. Favorite TV show is blank.
All time or right now?
All time.
Leave It to Beaver.
Listen, me, you, and Greg Cody are the only ones who got that.
Gee, Mrs. Cleaver, you look beautiful today.
All right, so what if I ask you today, today's show?
Today, I'm pretty big into Ozark.
Yeah, it's nice. Great. It's fair. Have you, did you binge watch the entire season or?
No, we're kind of staying like one, we don't want it to end. Right now. So, doing Homeland. Yeah, yes. Doing Homeland, doing this, did the Tiger King thing. I did two episodes of Tiger King and said, I'm not going to watch anymore. And then was talking to a buddy and then went back and watched the next four. So,
because that's what it's just about to get good is after the second episode.
Oh, right. Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
Favorite movie, you could do it the same way as TV. Favorite movie is blank.
Favorite movie of all time is It's a Wonderful Life.
Nice.
And my daughter and I were talking about this the other day, and I was like, obviously I like the Field of Dreams, but I love No Country for Old Men. And In Bruges, have you watched In Bruges?
Yes.
Stanzik is a movie buff. I have not seen
I'm that. Telling you, so vastly underrated in Bruges.
Colin Farrell. You'll like it.
Oh, my goodness. You got to.
All right, I'll check it out. I needed a movie to watch. I'm running out of movies, so this is great. Two more for you, then we'll get on to the game, and we'll get you out of here. Favorite meal is blank.
I'm a big Italian buff, so, I mean, I do like lasagna. I do like chicken parm, veal parm, you know, anything Italian.
All right, and favorite sports radio show is blank.
Oh. No, there's no question what that is. Believe me, you know, because like when I'm driving down to the studio, I hear you guys, and I am just in tears, and sometimes it's like that show's not unlike something that I'm pretty familiar with that I'm driving down to do tonight. Yeah, they haven't talked about sports in the last 45 minutes, and it's hilarious.
Listen, what makes it work is that pillar of journalism that's standing in the middle of all that chaos and Levitard. So when the important stuff comes across our desk, Ernie, we know we're covered with Dan, okay?
Yeah. Oh, without question. Without question.
All right, so here we go. We're going to play a game called Shaq, Kenny, or Chuck, and we'll get you out of here, okay? Shaq, Kenny, or Chuck, okay?
I'll try to remember those options.
Okay. Yeah, we'll remind you if we have to, Ernie. And by the way, right, before we leave, Stanzik and I have both been staring at your Emmy. And so Stanzik, you might think we've been staring at you this entire time, but that Emmy on the shelf over there. Stanzik will ask you about it in a second. Who's the best at a sport other than basketball? Shaq, Kenny, or Chuck?
Oh. That's, you know what? That's like a dead heat for, because I've seen, none of those three can throw. It's not like it. I would guess. Here it is, Chuck. Golf. That tells you how the other guys are in sports outside of basketball.
Who would make the best coach, NBA coach or GM? Shaq, Kenny, or Chuck?
Chuck wouldn't have the patience. Neither would Shaq. Kenny, I guess, has talked about it before. And, you know, the greatest thing about that would be the team that gets Kenny would be like, you guys show up to practices at 2 o'clock tomorrow, two-ish. You know, I'll try to be here on time. You know, we call him Captain Late. You know, so I'll go with Kenny as the coach.
All right. Who makes you laugh the most, Shaq, Kenny, or Chuck?
Chuck.
Okay. That was fairly obvious. Yeah. This is a great question by you, Stan. It compliments to you, okay? Who watches the most college basketball, Shaq, Kenny, or Chuck?
It would be Kenny, followed by Charles, followed by Shaq. I don't know how much college ball Shaq watches, but Kenny and Charles actually do. And a lot of times when we're on the air on Thursdays, there's games going on. But because Kenny has a son playing at UNC, I would say that it's Kenny who watches more college hoops.
All right.
Great Stanzik. I appreciate that.
Fantastic. This is a better one. Who would you most like to be quarantined with, Shaq, Kenny, or Chuck? If you guys saw Ernie's reaction, that means so we could see Ernie. So we're seeing his facial reactions. He doesn't know how to answer this one. His head just went into his hands.
Okay. I've got.
Oh man!
The tough one. That is an impossible question.
You're really agonizing over this, Ernie. We can skip it if you want. Yeah.
Okay. Pass. Pass.
Okay. Yeah. Good. Who picks up the check most frequently at restaurants?
Chuck.
Not surprising at all.
And he gets mad if I've snuck it a couple of times.
Yeah.
And he gets really mad. So I don't do that anymore.
Okay. Let him pay for it. It's okay. Ernie, let him pay for it. He's made enough money for $5 times. Yeah. Okay. Who would perform the best on Dancing with the Stars?
Kenny. In fact, he comes out at the beginning of every night and dances with our stage manager to his late mother's favorite song. And so the audio person knows we have a ritual when the night begins, about 8:02. Kenny stands at the door to the studio and goes, and I said, ladies and gentlemen, Kenny the Jet Smith. The song hits. He dances for like 20 seconds with the stage manager and then sits down and we do the show.
I love your show so much. How about American Idol? How about that one? Who would be best at that? Best singing voice, I guess.
Shaq could probably bluff his way through that one. Kenny can't sing a lick, and Charles is the worst. Kenny, one of Charles' favorite things in the world is karaoke, and there's no reason it should be. So I'll go with Shaq.
All right. Who would you be most reticent to have as a teacher in your journalism school? Shaq, Kenny, or Chuck?
Stu Gotch, you were on the journalism school. So I wouldn't be reticent to have any of those three be on the journalism
well
school.
Well played. Well played. Well played, my friend. If you, me, and Stanzik had an open spot for our tea time at Augusta, who would you call first, Shaq, Kenny, or Chuck?
Oh, you got to call Chuck. You've got to experience playing around a golf with the Chuckster. He loves the game, and it's every now and then he hits it really pure. But as the day goes on, it gets, you know, you get about 2.5 hours in, Mr. Hitch appears, and that's something to see.
All right. We're going to get you out of here on that note. Stanzik wants to talk about your Emmy real quick. You played Augusta, though, I'm assuming, right? You played that.
I played Augusta National once in my life, played it with my late father. It was December 10th, 1998.
Awesome.
And it was a December day that happened to be about 65 degrees. And it was unforgettable. Greatest round of golf of all time.
Love it. Stanzik, your eyes have been focused on that Emmy in his bookshelf the entire time. I mean,
yeah, I don't so much have a question about, yeah, I think it's more of just a thank you for classing up this podcast, because I wish everybody could see behind you, Ernie, is an Emmy, one of your many Emmys, and a few rows below that is your book. So I saw your book and my immediate instinct was to turn to my bookcase, which is to the right. Uh-huh. And I found your book as well, which is very good.
Hey,
and it was, I'll have you know, it was in between Craig Sager's book and Anna Kendrick's book. So high praise.
Wow. Very good. Yeah. That is excellent company to be in. I appreciate that. And thanks for reading it.
I will.
Very good. Blackberry moments, right?
So this will speak volumes. Yes.
Thank you.
This will speak volumes about all of us. So Ernie has an Emmy and he's got a bunch of books, and I'm certain there are more Emmys somewhere in that office on that shelf. Stanzik has, you know, Ernie's book. Stanzik has a few more books. Here is what I have in my office. Okay. This is a 5 DVD set that has not been opened yet. It is called Get Coached with Mike Ditka, Sean Payton, Rex Ryan, Bobby Bowden, Mike Singletary. How about that, Ernie?
Why haven't you opened it?
I have no idea. And what is Mike Singletary doing on there? He's never co-hosting.
He wants winners.
Yeah, but he had one of the greatest sound bites of all time in that short tenure with the 49ers as well. I'm trying to see if there's anything else in here that's worth looking at.
Okay. I've got nothing. No. I just showed you my prize besides it. I mean, that's all I got.
Yeah. No, I think that's pretty much it. That is a painting back there from the Game of Zones. You know, have you seen the Game of Zones on Bleacher Report?
I have not, no.
I've heard it's great.
It is spectacular. And then they actually did a painting of us as if we were back in like Game of Thrones. So that's what's back there. But aside from that, you've hit the highlights.
All right, great. Ernie, well, you've been the highlight. We've done 60-some-odd episodes of this podcast, and you are the highlight of the first 65 episodes we've done. Thank you.
You tell that to all the guys.
I do. At Turner Sports EJ is where you can find him on Twitter. TNT is where you can find him doing all his great work once we get back to some normalcy. Ernie, I appreciate it. Stay safe, you and your family. It is certainly a difficult time for everyone. Sports doesn't seem to be that important right now, but eventually we will get back to them, and I'm certain we're all looking forward to getting back to them. But in the meantime, stay safe, stay healthy, and thank you for the time, and I appreciate this budding friendship that you and I have. It's amazing. I'm happy about it.
Hey, the pleasure was mine. Thank you very much. And as the dean of the EJ's Journalism School, thank you so much, Professor.
Never mind. Did I think I'd be called professor? Levin Dorton says I'm a professor of bullshit. That's what he says I am. I have a degree in BS. What does he say?
Broadcasting.
Yeah, no, BS is what he says. BSing. But Ernie, thank you, man. This has been a thrill for both of us. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon, man. Stay safe.
Appreciate you guys. Be good.
Stupidity!
Stanzik, that was a lot of fun, man. I would, Ernie Johnson, who would have thought 3 weeks ago that I would have had these conversations, the conversations I've had with Ernie Johnson. It has been great. Stanzik, I would say, I mean, listen, it was serious. There was some funny there. I mean, that's for you. And I know you, that has to be one of the best interviews we've done here on Stupidity, right?
It's high on the list. I mean, if we've had a lot of interviews on this podcast, most of them have been pretty shitty, but, Ernie's high on the good list. I'd put him up there with, you know, one you might remember just from this one sound.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, reality. Yeah, that was great. That was great. I want to do top 10 sounds ever made on the podcast. We'll do that next week, okay? And this is certainly on the metal stand right here.
Oh, yeah.
So you're putting him in reality status, huh? That's high praise for you, man. You love, because you were swooning more than I was after reality was on with us.
Yeah, yeah, but I'm swooning now, too. I love Ernie. I just think he's great. So I'd put him on the metal stand for sure.
Stanzik, do you think Ernie knows that in exchange for being a professor at his school, not only was he going to have to do this podcast, do you think he's aware that I am going to ask him at some point to sit in on that studio show and for courtside seats to that NBA Finals game?
I don't think he's aware of that now.
Okay. Well, Ernie, if you're not aware, be aware it's happening. Have a good weekend, everyone. Stupidity!